Hello guys, it's Clint Locklear with The Rant of a Free Trapper, and before we get started, just want to thank our sponsor for this, which is Funky Trap Tags and Supplies, Alan up there in Iowa, good guy. If you're looking for trap tags or any other supplies, give him a shot. I mean, he is definitely one of the good guys, and he sponsors this, even if you can imagine what it's like to sponsor me doing this. So give him a little bit of your business if you would there. So what I want to talk about today, and I didn't do a rant last week, and with everything going on with Charlotte and with all of that craziness going on, I just didn't, everything I wanted to talk about would have been very aggressive, and I didn't want to do that. So I really thought about what I wanted to do this rant on, and it's one of these that I wish was taught in school systems today, but it's not, and I wish it's something people would study on their own, but they really don't, and that's strategy. Now, strategy can be a lot of different things. Now, you have techniques and you have a strategy, and the difference between the two, a strategy could be, let's say like in trapping, a strategy could be to have a very simple set that you can put a lot of them out very quickly. That's a strategy, you know, but it's not the same strategy if you go out and you're going to put in a bunch of different type of sets with different type of things. That would be a different strategy, you know, or two traps at every bridge for coon, many bridges you can get. That's a strategy. It's not a technique, it's a strategy. Now, technique is how you would put the two traps at the bridge for the coon. The technique would be actually how do you make your hole, like if you're doing the Don Bolte type system where you just put in a wobble hole with a rebar, you've got your trap on about 18-20 inches of chain, you put your trap 6 inches deep, 6 inches back, shove the T-bar down towards deep water. See, that's a technique of catching coon, but the strategy is a little bit different, and the strategy is what kind of gets you to do the right techniques, and it gives you a cohesive way of thinking about something when it comes up around you. So what I want to talk about is the strategy with dealing with all of the super craziness that we've got going on today, because I mean, I'll be honest with you, it could get very ugly in America very quick with this, and it seems to be accelerating. But the strategy that the left is using, and for the most part, the right, which not right as in the Nazis, and the right is in the European form of fascism or communist, but the right is in America where we're more conservative. Just need to make sure that's clear there. But say conservative, we really don't do strategy very well. For one, we're more independent-minded. Liberals are more like bees, you know, or like something off Star Trek where you had those group of people that they all thought the same thing, they all had the same mission. I mean, they were just like worker bees. That's kind of the way the liberals are, and that's their strategy. I mean, it's like they're very cohesive, they understand what the game plan is, and they execute it. Now, conservatives are more individually-minded, and it's like herding cats all the time, because you have like hardcore conservative, you have libertarian conservative, you have all this type stuff, and you have that's the reason the conservative side of things is so freaking messy. Now, when we're dealing with liberals, the strategy that I think they're using more than anything else is basically cause as much chaos and as much disruption and get the biggest emotional response out of the conservatives they can on any single issue. See, that's their strategy. And they do it in ways that really piss us off. Now, if someone's always calling you a racist, after a while you get very mad. And what they're going to end up doing is they're going to turn to punch a non-racist into racist, which they don't care about that, because racism's not the issue. It's having something to figure out a way to be able to take power away from certain people and give it to other people. So race is not the issue, but what they're doing, they're going to cause a lot of people to become racist because you just get sick and tired about race all the time, to the point where it's kind of like, well, F all of y'all that think about race all the time, and I don't want to have nothing to do with you. So that's kind of what their strategy is, because the more people they can get to be closer to the racist side, and if they start acting out at all, because, you know, it's perfectly okay for liberals to beat people with bike chains, but it's not okay for a conservative to do anything whatsoever, because the media is going to make it very lopsided in the coverage. So no matter what a conservative does, he's wrong, and no matter what a liberal does, they're right. With inside of mainstream media and the talking points and all that stuff. So we see, that's also part of their strategy. They call us racist when they're the ones that's racist, and I can give you clear examples of that. The slavery issues in America were done by Democrats. The conservative monuments, all of them that's been torn down, has been by Democrats. All the Jim Crow laws and all that up through the 60s and 70s were Democrats. So, but they've twisted it around to the point where now if you're conservative, you're racist. Which is not fair, but the world's not fair. So don't look at it that way, because the world's never going to be fair. So you can't just be looking at stuff that way, because you're just going to have your feelings hurt all the time. But that's their strategy. So when they say, like Antifa, when Antifa says we're anti-fascist, you can almost guarantee that means that Antifa is fascist. And they are. They're the most fascist thing we've seen in America in a long time. But they claim to be anti-fascist, because who wants to say, well, I'm pro-fascist and I'm against Antifa? The strategy is brilliant. Now, from a conservative side, if you understand, you know, like, just seeing the patterns. Now, me and Chip texted about this last night, and it's funny because I knew this is what I was going to do the rant on a little bit. And, you know, what he said, the pattern's clear. Whatever they call us, that's what they are, and that's what they're doing. You know, they say they're pro-business, but they do everything they can to hurt business. They say they're pro-family, but they do everything they can to hurt the family. They're pro-unity, but they do everything with the utmost urgency to cause disunity in America. So that's their pattern. And that whatever they're doing, they blame the conservative. And it always puts the conservative on the wrong side. Now, why does this strategy work so well? Well, no one wants to be called a racist. No one wants to be called anti-business or, you know, whatever the topic of the day is. No one wants to be anti-anything, because in the real world, in most everyday life, no one ever thinks about these things whatsoever, because it's not a real issue. It's just an issue politically. What gives the strategy that they have so much power is people engage in it. That's where the power is. And I'm going to give you an example of a made up whatever. And I'm going to show you how I could start a movement in Dunlap, Tennessee within a few weeks. We're going to call it the Dunlap Anti-Liberal State. Just making up a name. And then I'm going to get on YouTube and social media and Twitter, and I'm going to always say Dunlap Anti-Liberal State, and I'm going to cuss and just pummel the liberals to death, but I'm always going to use that Dunlap Anti-Liberal State message. Now, before I start this, no one's ever thought of Dunlap having an anti-liberal state. Never been in anybody's mind, so there's no opposition to it, right? See, because I'm just kind of making this up. Kind of like everything's racist in America. It's not unless you get conflict over racist in America. But I'm going to start this Dunlap anti-liberal state, and I'm going to promote it, and I'm going to scream, and I'm going to be calling the liberals racist and anti-job, anti-American. They're really communist, and I'm going to scream and holler, and I'm going to do all this. By me doing that, I know that I'm going to build the ranks of my movement in Dunlap. Because when I start doing that, there's going to be people that's going to automatically come out and oppose it. They weren't there before, but they're there now. because they're going to hear some outrageous stuff I say and they've got to fight against it. Then what are they going to do? They're going to start social media and Twitter and YouTube and news, and they're going to come back against the really nothing there Dunlap anti-liberal state. Now, the people in Dunlap, there's never thought about having a Dunlap anti-liberal state in those terms. They're going to start getting attacked by liberals all over the world because we have this movement going on in Dunlap, which is all made up. But now there's opposition to this made-up movement. People in Dunlap are going to go, we've never heard of this. Oh, yeah, if you're in Dunlap, you're part of this whatever I decide to make it to be. And they're going to go, well, that's crazy. I've never even heard of this. And then there's going to be more and more opposition to it because I'm going to keep talking. And then they're going to start really getting on people here in Dunlap that have no idea what's going on. But we're going to cause the liberals to act a certain way because that's the strategy. They're going to cause the people of Dunlap to bow up against this aggression that's coming towards them that they didn't know it was ever an issue whatsoever because it hadn't been. Now I'm going to have people in the ranks that are going to be standing up and fighting for the Dunlap anti-liberal state, which to me is not a bad idea. But they're going to be all of a sudden hardcore pro Dunlap anti-liberal state. Now, before I started this, guys, none of this existed. What would be the reasoning for me to do that? Well, it could be that I want to push certain agendas here in Dunlap and I want to have a backing, that I want people to show how conservative, quote, they are. And now we've got this group, kind of like a lobbying group, where we can go in the courthouse and basically bully ourselves around. Think of Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton. Or it could be, I think that I can start a GoFundMe page with this Dunlap anti-liberal group and actually make money off of something that didn't exist before I started it. But now I've got my team that's fighting back against an opposing team, but neither one of them existed when it was over. Do you see how that strategy works? You can see it all the time. Because until the transgender thing came up, did you ever think about transgender? That never entered my mind. Just not something I ever thought about. But they pushed it so hard that now there's kickback. They're doing kickback, and now it's blown way out of proportion. We got like 73 genders. Kids have no idea if they're in or out. He means that they're a girl or a boy anymore. All because of this strategy alone. Obama was a master at this strategy. Now, what's going on with the Confederate monuments, whatever your beliefs are on that, that's what this is. They started something, they pushed it and pushed it. Now there is an opposing force to it because people in Charleston, you know, up till like 4 months ago, never really thought about the statues more than anything else. It's just something in their city. Now you've got people all over the world that are arguing these two opposing forces. What gives that strategy so much power? Because you can do it with anything. Anything. Same strategy was used by Hitler with the Jews. It's the same strategy. It's the same strategy how socialism always gets the people mad at every business owner and the rich people with class warfare. Same strategy. Keep pushing and pushing. Eventually, the business owners are going to start talking back, and that's what they're looking for. And all of a sudden, now you got opposition. Now you can ratchet it up further, which brings in more people on both sides, which is recruiting. Which, if you hadn't figured it out, that's what the Nazis want. You know, that showed up at Charlotte talking about Jewish people, which had nothing to do with the Confederacy or whatever. Those white supremacists, they want the conflict because they know that the so-called liberals are going to be so vocal that they're going to recruitment is going to grow in their movement. How do you fight that? You ignore them. Because if I started the Dunlap anti-liberal state and nobody ever paid attention, I would be the only person in Dunlap talking about the Dunlap anti-liberal state. I'd be the only one. How much power would that strategy have? Zero. But the way people are today in America, dude, I could have Dunlap on the map in a week if I wanted to. And I would have opposing forces. And all of a sudden, I would have this power of this movement and maybe money coming into this movement that didn't exist. All because of that. But if no one listens to me, or they just ignore me, that strategy fails. It's one of the most powerful strategies that governments and agencies and groups use to gain recruitment, opposition, and money. And it's because people want to come back. So let's say, like, down in Charlotte, for example, with these things. Now, the people that showed up were not Republican or conservative. They were white supremacists. They're social. Antifa, which are fascist, are communist. So we had communist and socialist being aggressive with each other. I personally don't care. If you give them all the communist and all the socialist baseball bats with nails sticking out of them, put them in an arena and the last one stand and give them a hamburger. That wouldn't hurt my feelings whatsoever. I don't care if they kill each other. As far as I'm concerned, we need people to think like that out of the gene pool, especially here in America. So none of that had to do with the monuments whatsoever. But because the monuments were thrown in and the liberal media started all of this blow and pushback about the monuments, now there's opposing forces on both sides that are pissed off at each other and the ranks are growing daily. Because I hear it all day long on talk radio. It's at the point I'm downloading podcasts just so I don't have to listen to talk radio because I'm tired of hearing about it. But that's the strategy being used. So when you're dealing with a liberal that wants to push you into this strategy, once you know the strategy and they're looking for an opposing force, the smartest reverse strategy is ignoring them. Which will really make them mad, because that's not what they want. It's kind of like voting. When you hear people that say, you must vote, and someone goes, I don't want to vote. I don't think it matters. And they go, well, if you don't vote, you can't say anything. Well, if you're talking to a Republican and you go, okay, I'll vote, but I'm going to vote for a Democrat. Oh, no, no, you can't vote for the Democrat. See, the voting is not the issue when someone's doing that, because they're using the same strategy with voting. They're wanting you to vote their way. They're wanting to control your actions when that happens. So if I was confronted, or I was on Facebook and I'm seeing people post stuff, then I know the strategy now is to get an opposing force. Don't be the opposing force. And there's two things that will kill that strategy right off the bat. One is satire and humor, where you don't, you know, you're stupid, this, that, and the other, you know, all the stuff you see on Facebook, you know, you're a moron, this, that, and the other. But if you make a joke about it, you know, like the liberals are afraid of concrete, apparently. And you make it where it just makes them look stupid, but you do it in a non-aggressive way, that's the most powerful thing you can do to a strategy like that, is satire and humor. Because it's showing you're not taking them serious at all, and they need you to take them serious. You know, if you come up with the little memes, the way memes are, you know, and you're in, when someone says that, you just completely make fun of them, but not in an aggressive way, because that's what they want, but just in a, dude, grow up, man. It's ridiculous. Now, if you're talking with an individual, the few times, because I'm not around a lot of liberals where I live in Dunlap, I'm just not. I've said some stuff when I've been out before, and you know, when I hear something, and it doesn't ever go well. But if a person were to come up to me, you know, like a reporter, or just a person that wanted to start something because their strategy is an opposing force, and they started the thing on racism, I would let them give their spiel and I wouldn't get mad, even though it'd be hard not to. I wouldn't raise my voice because that's an opposition, and if you know their strategy, you can kill it. I would sit there and listen to them, and this is basically what I would say, which would completely shut down the argument. Ma'am or sir, I'm going to say ma'am this time. Ma'am, either you're stupid about this subject or ignorant about it, or you're being dishonest. And I'm not going to waste my time talking with a person that's ignorant on this subject, but I really think you're just being dishonest about the facts. And I don't deal with dishonest people, so this conversation's over with, and your opinion to me is irrelevant. What is a liberal going to say to that? Now, they will come back with something, and it'll always be like trying to bleed you, to get you to be opposition. But if you know the strategy and you're playing chess and you know what their next move is going to be, just repeat what you just said. I do not waste my time, ma'am, with dishonest people. See, you're not even going to whatever the subject matter is. I do not waste my time with dishonest people. Your opinion is irrelevant because you're being dishonest. And they will try to bring you into an argument. I don't deal with dishonest people. End of story. If you do that with a liberal that's trying to make you into an opposing force, game's over. At least with you. Now, if we could get conservatives to understand this, how much power would this strategy have in America? None. So when Antifa is marching around the streets with all their little black gadgets and their body armor and their Kevlar vest on, which is they're wearing now, if they're walking around the streets and nobody showed up to oppose them, they might as well be walking out in the woods. But we got to stand up to them. Yeah. Trust me, my strategy is way more than standing up to them. You're cutting their jugular and letting them bleed out. Because strategy always outtrumps a technique when it comes to doing something like this. So when they protest, let them protest. Ignore them. If you're around the area and the media comes up and says, what do you think about this? I think they're being dishonest, they're being immoral, and I'm not going to waste my time talking about them. Now, you're not going to be on the news because that's not what the news wants to hear. But if all conservatives said that, whatever. So here's another strategy with the Antifa and all the stuff going on with the monuments. What if at the protest, people were just standing off to the side with a sign, don't engage the protesters at all. And the sign just says, tear down the monuments, I don't care. I'm going to teach my children the truth. Let that get on social media. See, now you've totally changed because they're not there because of the monuments. They're there to get opposition. And if someone brings this up to you, tear down all the monuments you want to. They're just concrete. I'm going to teach my children true history, no matter how many monuments you tear down, which in turn means you're wasting your time, energy, and resources, and I don't care anyway. All of a sudden now, all this strategy that they're trying to do just evaporates. Because if you make them irrelevant and you let them know that you know that they're irrelevant, where are they going to go from there? If someone's trying to convince you of their side of the argument to get opposition and you're going, I'm not, you're wasting my time, dude. You're being dishonest. I don't deal with dishonesty. They're going to raise their voice. They're going to scream. They're going to holler and just kind of laugh at them and go, dude, you need to grow up. This is childish, and it's dishonest. I'm not interested. There's nowhere that they can go from there. So like on Facebook, when every time someone puts something up there, even like if it's an anti about trapping and they're just being crazy, just go, we're not gonna have you in our conversation because you're being dishonest and we don't believe in dealing with dishonest people. Where are they gonna go from there? It's much easier if you start, well, you're just stupid and you're a city person and this, that, and the other. No. You need to learn the facts. You either don't know the facts or you're being dishonest. I believe you're being dishonest, so we're not gonna respond to you at all. Now, someone that gets on a trapping site, they're not looking to convert trappers. They're looking for opposition. If you let them scream, holler, and that, and just go, dudes, your opinions are irrelevant. Your opinions make no difference to me. Your opinions don't matter to anybody that's on this site. Your opinions are a waste of time. Where are they going to go? Nowhere. And because they're not getting opposition, they're going to go away. See, Antifa and Black Lives Matter and all of this, all the power they have, not because they're rioting, not because they're burning their own neighborhoods down, which is really stupid. It's because there's an opposition force that's opposing them. Now, you may think that's weakness, but it's really not, because it's a lot harder to do my strategy than to scream, holler, and fight. Because it takes a little bit of discipline. But how you choose to deal with this, just keep in mind, are you being a tool for them? Let me put this in a different perspective. If you play along with their strategy, you're being more than a tool, you're being their dildo. That's what you're being. Nothing more, nothing less. Because you're doing exactly what they want you to do. And you can see this all through history with Marx, with Marxism and Stalin and Mussolini. They always, towards the end, made fun of the people that they've got to be opposition and the people that are causing the opposition. They called them useful tools. Because the people that are starting this opposition strategy are not the people in the street. They're not the people that's running around with the bats. They're not. They're not the ones screaming on Facebook. They're winding up those people and turning them loose to get opposition. That's how all of these really big liberals get all this stuff done. It's because we play their game. And if you've ever been around someone that's my age or older, you never bet somebody on their own game. Never. Like, I haven't played basketball in 15 years. But when I was younger, I would go to the deepest, darkest hoods and play basketball, and I would let them block my shots, and I would let them do this, and I would let them do that, because see, I was playing my game, and they didn't know what the game was, and I would let them build this confidence up in basketball. And then I would sit there and I would watch the most ego-driven, loudmouth person in the gym, and I would wait and wait and wait, and I would let them beat me. I'd wait for that one opportunity, and when they were going to do the same shot they've done five or six times, I would take that basketball and I would block it, but I'd do it in a way where it'd come back and smack them right in the face and knock them off their feet. See, that was my game. And it embarrassed the living crap out of them. Because now there's a white guy in an all-black gym that just made me look like a fool. And now what did they do? They would get up and they would rooster. And they would start hopping around. And they would start raising their voice. And what did all the buddies of that guy do? Oh man, that white boy just played you like his bitch. and I would just kind of, you know, lucky shot. Then I'd wait again, and I would do it again. And then he would always, always get aggressive. Now, I'm like 260 pounds in high school. So it's not like I was really worried about him getting that aggressive. And then I would calmly go, dude, why are you running your mouth like a little girl about this? If you think you can really beat me like a drum the way you're talking about, let's put $150 or $200 on a game of 21. We'll let your buddies hold the money, and I will show you how bad you are at basketball. Now, see, that was my game. And you know 99% of the time, they would play my game. Now you've got a 6'2" black guy that weighs about 180 pounds against a 6'2" white guy that weighs 260 pounds, except I'm very skilled in technique in basketball because I was in state championships 3 out of 4 years in high school. And I would literally use my strength and actual techniques of good ball handling and all the stuff that I learned in real basketball, not street basketball, and I would beat them into submission in a game of 21. I would take my $200, I would tell them thank you, and I would leave. Why did that happen? Because that was my game. Was one-on-one where I was much stronger and I was much better trained than a street ball player. And my ego was not involved. And I made a lot of money doing that. After about a year and a half of that, it didn't work anymore because everybody knew that that was my game. And when they knew it was my game, the game didn't work anymore. Then we just play basketball. So that's what I'm trying to tell you. If you know the person's game, change the rules on them. If they want you to be an opposition force, don't do it. If they want you to get mad, don't do it. If they want to draw you into an argument of just bumper stickers screaming and hollering, just tell them you're dishonest, your opinions are irrelevant to me, I don't care what you say, scream all you want to, because the only person listening is the wind. Nowhere to go. Just a thought, guys. Just a thought.